Yevgeny Sudbin, it is an honor to have you here in the Colorado Public Radio Performance Studio. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
When did you know that you wanted to be a pianist?
Well, I still actually don't know. I always played the piano because I remember, both my parents are pianists, and we had a piano at home, and I always played the piano as long as I can remember. Probably started when I was 3 or 4, but I never really thought it would be my career. I never know sort of how things will progress, but I take it sort of one tour, one concert at a time, and see how things develop. But now I'm probably at a stage where I can't imagine doing anything else.
Do you have a favorite very early work from when you were a kid that you just, you have a special place in your heart for?
Yes, completely. I remember exactly, we had only very few LPs, actually. We had about 10 or 15 LPs, and one of them was Gilles playing the Tchaikovsky first piano concerto.
Emil Gilles.
Yes, the Russian, Russian pianist. And I used to play it over and over and over again on our LP player. And I would also, before I even could read the music, I would sit down at the piano and try to imitate the recording and also play along with it. And then I would invite my friends over to come and listen, and I was quite shocked that they weren't as inspired as I was. I could never actually explain that because the way the music and the playing, the kind of impact it had on me, didn't seem to have on many of my friends, which I found very surprising. But I think, yeah, that was my recording and my first recording, my first encounter with music. I also had the LP where Gilles also played the Moonlight Sonata and I think the Appassionata, which I also really liked. And then I learned to read music, and these were the first pieces I was starting to play.
Now, the 2005 recording that you released of Domenico Scarlatti's keyboard sonatas, I mean, that really made you an international success in many ways, or at least it played a large role. How did you first come across the music of Domenico Scarlatti? I mean, you championed so many Russian composers, so much Russian music. How was it that you first came across the keyboard music of Domenico Scarlatti?
Well, one of my other favorite pianists then became Horowitz, Vladimir Horowitz, who actually then was still alive, but I still never met him or went to his live concerts. I just remember seeing his concerts broadcast on TV. I was really inspired by him, and he played Scarlatti absolutely wonderfully. A totally different approach from what one is used to, and quite romantic and very individual. There are no rules how to play this music. There's no tradition like with a certain other composer. So you can have all the freedom you want and experiment and do whatever you feel like in a way, but still trying to be in the style. So I came across Scarlatti's music probably through Horowitz's recordings, although I was aware of it before also from some harpsichord recordings. But I think I always wanted to record Scarlatti because I felt there is just so much variety, and I could express myself quite well through it.
These pieces were written for harpsichord. Have you ever played the harpsichord?
Yes, I have actually. Not properly. I just got interested just to see what the sort of major differences are, and I had some lessons on harpsichord. I remember it's like, you know, it's like for a cellist to learn to play the flute. It's just an entirely different instrument altogether.
Do you feel like you know enough about the differences between the limitations of the harpsichord and harpsichord playing, and all of the opportunities that the piano presents, that you might be able to give us an example here of the difference, how it might be heard on a harpsichord, and then how you would interpret it?
Well, there's a wonderful sonata, K466 in F minor, which would sound like two different pieces, depending whether you're playing it on the harpsichord or on the piano. It's this one. The thing with harpsichords is that you can, in order to emphasize certain things, you can hold notes down. You can't do anything dynamically. So, for example, if I played it on the piano, it would be very different.
Mm-hmm.
just the dynamic possibilities of the modern instrument are so vast that actually a lot of harpsichordists would find it a bit of an insult, really, to play Scarlatti on the piano. But I think it's wonderful. It is different, of course, than probably how Scarlatti heard it, but I don't really mind.
Well, it's beautiful. I feel like what comes to mind for me is Glenn Gould opening our minds to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, that same kind of inspiration in invention, if you will, in your interpretation of Scarlatti. And I definitely see the comparisons to Horowitz that obviously you've heard many critics make that parallel.
Oh, I don't read any critics, so.
Good for you. Well, that is a parallel I've seen, certainly. That must be awfully flattering, the comparison to Vladimir Horowitz.
Yes, I mean, he is one of my, of course, favorite pianists. But I always try to discover my own things. I do listen to recordings, of course, but I never really had kind of the gift of imitation. For me, I listen to recordings, take it in, and then try to digest it into something that I feel is right for me. I would maybe say that I sort of went maybe slightly more extreme direction. Mm-hmm. But I can't really say. I mean, everybody, the wonderful thing about Scarlatti is that under every pianist's hand, the composer will sound like a different person, which is, I think, a wonderful quality. Also, if you hear people play Bach, it's a similar thing. Actually, with all Baroque music, I also play a lot of Bach, but not in public.
Oh, really? Why not?
I don't feel I'm ripe for it yet. But maybe there'll come a time I will be.
Let's talk about Franz Liszt. I would think his music would be particularly difficult to play from what I've heard from many pianists. Do you find that to be the case?
No, not at all. I think Liszt is one of the easiest composers I've encountered. I know it sounds strange, but because technically it's very demanding, but musically there's a certain level of maturity the pianist probably needs, and I find it very straightforward, actually. I mean, this particular piece I'm playing is one of the Transcendental Etudes. It's one of his more advanced pieces with quite advanced harmonic understanding and progression. But you have all these dissonant and diminished kind of harmonies along the way. There are, of course, very temperamental passages and outbursts of passion or something in the middle of the etude, which builds up to the climax. And of course, from technical perspective, it's very hard because you have very big jumps all over the place. I actually remember this is quite a difficult technical passage from the physical point of view, and a friend of mine.
Is he breathing hard here?
yeah, I have to get my breath. But a friend of mine, Stephen Huff, is a great pianist. He actually advised me to practice this passage with my eyes closed or in the dark. which would sound ridiculous if I tried it now, but it's the idea is that if you switch off one of your senses, then the other ones will adjust much quicker, and it's one way to practice that.
Now, you're also playing Chopin.
Yes, quite a lot of Chopin. The whole first half is actually Chopin.
Yes, and is that because this year is the 200th anniversary of his birth?
Partly, yes. And also I wanted to give myself a challenge, because Chopin is actually, for me, one of the hardest composers.
That's interesting. Why is that?
Well, I somehow actually found easier to play Chopin when I was a child. Somehow, when you don't think so much, when you don't analyze the music, it comes out very naturally, and this sort of natural approach to Chopin music can actually sometimes decline with age. Throughout the years, I noticed that my Chopin had changed a lot, and the other problem with Chopin's music is that everyone has quite strong ideas how his music should be played. I mean, to find the right balance between strong interpretation and also the natural aspect in his music to make it a convincing and balanced case is really, really difficult, actually. I mean, there are many people who play Chopin, but I think there are very few who can master this balance really well. And it was always a challenge for me. It will always remain a challenge for me.
Interesting comparing Chopin as a person to Liszt. Liszt, the extrovert, the showman, the rock star of the stage with his long flowing hair and the women going nutso over him. And then Chopin, the introvert, the salon performer. Do you find that really creates a difference in the music that they've written or in what you play? The extrovert Liszt versus the introvert Chopin.
Well, I think with Chopin, he would most certainly attract the right kind of women. No, just because the music is so sophisticated, and he's not a great showman, but I think there is so much depth and so much warmth and just aspects in his music that lack in many other composers. And if you listen out carefully, it's all there. I mean, he doesn't need any of the tricks or extra things or long hair or anything like that. The music just speaks for itself. No, I think he's one of the greatest talents who ever lived.
Tell me about this ballade that you're playing.
I'm actually playing two, number three and number four, the last two ballades, and they're both very different in character. The third ballade is more, it's a more joyful, I mean, very charming, for example. This sort of gait rhythm, I don't know, kind of slightly limping, is actually very difficult to bring off. And he has got this dance element also in his mazurkas quite often. It's not very straightforward dancing, it's more with syncopated. I'm also playing some mazurkas, which I find actually wonderful pieces. I mean, he wrote them throughout his life. And the dance element is, for example, present in them as well. Thank you.
Chopin always longed for his Polish homeland after he moved to France. And I feel like through his music, he was able to be there in some sense.
Yes, nobody can say the mazurkas are French because they're definitely Polish. I mean, this is a mazurk is a Polish dance, and Chopin was very fond of it. The second one, which I'm playing, is also Chopin's fourth ballade in F minor, which is his last ballade. It's probably one of his most sophisticated pieces. It's his most mature work, and to have structure from first bar to the last bar and to keep the form intact is very difficult. It's very different from the first one. It's much more introvert.
Now, I know that this music was written a century and a half ago, but one of the tricks to playing Chopin's music is that you really want to play it as if it sounds like it's being improvised on the spot.
Yes, and sometimes it is improvised on the spot. No, I hope not. But it's true. It's a very spontaneous music, and if it sounds in any way planned, I think people will not be convinced for sure.
Yevgeny Sudbin in the Colorado Public Radio Performance Studio. I want to thank you so much for coming to our studios today and playing on our 9-foot Steinway. I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.